Tomorrow is an extra day of the year. It is leap year. It happens every 4 years, usually. I say usually because the rules change when it is century years. What would another day mean? Those who know and are scientifically bent understand that it is an astronomical necessity for the earthly calendar. We need to have an extra day after or every 4 years. For the superstitious, there are any number of superstitions surrounding the extra day to choose from, especially pertaining to love life. For the many, however, it is just simply an added day for gain of income, profit, just as every day is. And since tomorrow is a working day, it is to them another day that adds income to them, even to the believer. And I hope an additional day for us to apply what we have been learning in the last two chapters of our series, when we deal with finances, when we deal with issues of money. And with this message today, I shall be closing this long series of messages based on 2 Corinthians. It started way back in 2012 when I opened in chapter 10 to chapter 13 in the series entitled Nature of the Mature. And just to recap, Paul had a falling out with the Corinthian church and went away. He wrote a severe letter to them, and in order to have the letter received by the church, he dispatched Titus. In anxiety and even depression, Apostle Paul could not wait for news, and so even though he was in Troas having an open door according to his own testimony, he went to Macedonia, and there he met with Titus bearing mixed news. According to Titus, most repented, and Paul rejoiced over that news. But at the same time, there was a minority of remaining opposition, and that explains the rather ambivalent tone of the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians, because part of which is very sharp, and that's the part from chapters 10 to 13, and that is because Paul was correcting those who remained adamant, those who remained rebels against Paul's authority, while chapters 1 to 9 are full of tenderness and pastoral dealing. And there we see the Apostle Paul addressing the repentant, and this is the series we are closing with, entitled Stored for the Restored. At makikita natin dito ang mga masasabi nating dynamics na nangyayari sa isang iglesia, sa mga sigalot na maaring mangyari. Hindi kinakailangang makasira sa isang iglesia hanggat ginagawa natin ang tamang mga prinsipyo sa pagsagot at sa pagharap ng ganong mga sigalot. At nakita natin kay Apostol Pablo ang napakagandang halimbawa niyan. And when Paul has at least in the first few chapters of 2 Corinthians, have dealt with the issue that caused the conflict, he went back to one of the original goals he had in ministering in Corinth, and that is to accumulate or to generate funds for the sustenance of churches in need. So we have in chapters 8 and 9, the last two chapters of our study, a portion of the scriptures probably the most packed with teachings and principles concerning giving. And we are therefore underscoring that subject in the last few Sundays of our ministry, not because that is a favorite topic of this pulpit, but simply because we are being faithful to the text under our study. And so we need to learn, we need to be challenged, perhaps rebuked. And one thing that Apostle Paul emphasized in these two chapters, perhaps the most distinctive of our Christian theology of giving, is that it is a grace. Hindi ito isang obligasyon. Huwag muna natin tingnan na isang tungkulin na basta't nagawa ay masasiyahan na tayo sa ating konsensya. Dapat nating tingnan ang pagbibigay na isang biyaya, sapagkat tugon ito sa katotohanan ng biyaya ng Diyos. Isinugo niya si Jesucristo na bagamat nasa kalagayang mayaman, malwalhati, siya'y inilagay sa kalagayang mahirap, dukha, para sa ating ikaliligtas, and that becomes the fulcrum around which the basis or the issue of giving, Paul makes his case to the Corinthians. Now, one virtue the Apostle Paul underscores in these two chapters about the giver is cheerful liberality. At yan ang dapat na ating linangin sa ating pagbibigay, may kaluwagan na nakabatay sa kagalakan. And one thing that Apostle Paul does to encourage that is to give promises that are based on the New Testament. I warn you against using Old Testament promises meant for Israel in their land context. And many have used that for prosperity, theology, and gospel. We don't want that. But there are promises, and the promise is sufficiency in things while we abound in good works. And then the last thing we saw is how the promise pertains to our sowing and reaping, therefore the process of labor. The gift of God is not given in the context of sloth. The gift of God and blessing is given in the context of the God-ordained means for gain, and that is as we labor. But above all this, Apostle Paul reminds the Corinthians that beyond benevolence, beyond what we can do with our giving, it is the prospect of expanding kingdom that drives the saints' sacrificial service. Then kinakailangan higit pa sa ating pagtulong, sa ating pagbibigay, ang nakahihigit na motibo ng Kristiyano ay ang nakikita niyang lumalaganap na kaharian ng Diyos. Now we conclude with a single verse, 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. Or in the New King James, it is indescribable gift. Now, this is a rather abrupt conclusion by the Apostle Paul. I would have expected something like, thank you, Corinthians, for your liberality. Or may God bless your generous gift. For He has been giving instructions and commending the Corinthians because of their gift, of their generous offering that will be sustaining the churches, that will truly be a benevolent contribution to the saints' need. So all the while he's been talking about the gift of the Corinthians, all of a sudden, Apostle Paul thanks God for his inexpressible, his indescribable gift. Suddenly, it is God's gift. Where all the while he is talking about the Corinthians' gift, commending them, instructing them, but now he concludes with the gift of God. What he thinks of how to describe this gift, words fail him. In fact, he uses a word that occurs only here in the whole Bible. It's like Paul was thinking, what can I say about the gift of God? And words fail him. He uses a word that does not even describe. He uses a word that tells us he could not describe the gift of God. And my concluding message is simply this. The gift of God in Christ overwhelms the believer with gratitude to God. Dahil sa kaloob ng Diyos kay Kristo, may pananaig na pagpapasalamat sa mananampalataya para sa Diyos. The gift of God in Christ overwhelms the believer with gratitude to God. And that is the only word I could think of to reflect what Apostle Paul is feeling at this point. He could not describe it. His words fail him, and he's a man with a rich vocabulary. But when he thought of the gift of God, he used very important words and good words to describe the Corinthian gift. He commends them, and he instructs them. And he is never running out of words when he describes the Corinthian gift. But now suddenly he thinks, in comparison to that, what God has given in the first place. What is God's gift? How shall I describe it? And he simply says, I can't. It is indescribable. It is inexpressible. And the word that comes to my mind is, Paul here is overwhelmed. Nananaig. Nilulukob siya ng labi ng lubos na pasasalamat sa iniisip niyang kaloob ng Diyos, anuman ang naging kaloob ng mga taga-Korinto na kanyang pinupuri at ang kaloob nila na makakatulong sa mga kapatiran at magpapalaganap sa kaharian. Kinikilala niya ito, ngunit ng kanyang maisip na ito'y kaloob lang ng mga mananampalataya, ano ang kaloob ng Diyos, paano ko ito ilalarawan, walang sapat na salita na magamit si Apostol Pablo, kaya ang sabi lang niya, it is indescribable, I cannot express this. So in this way, Paul concludes what he has been saying of giving, and then prepares for the part of the letter that is going to be a rebuke. Remember, 9:15 is the conclusion of chapters 1 to 9, but it also prepares for that rebuking part of chapters 10 to 13. And this description of Paul does two things. First, it tells us that thanksgiving to God answers restraint to liberality. Ang pagpapasalamat sa Diyos ang sumasagot sa anumang pumipigil sa kaluwagan. Thanksgiving to God answers restraint to liberality. And secondly, thanksgiving to God prevents boasting by comparison. Ang pagpapasalamat sa Diyos ang pumipigil sa anumang paghahambog na naghahambing. Thanksgiving to God prevents boasting by comparison. So first of all, Paul is overwhelmed with thanksgiving when he thought of what God has given compared to what the Corinthians have given, that is commendable. But when he thought of what God has given, it simply overwhelms him with thanksgiving. And we learn from this that if a Christian is moved by thanksgiving of deep gratitude to God, there is no need to make a long argument about service and in particular about giving. Now, remember, the one virtue that Apostle Paul underscores in chapters 8 and 9 is that, as I have said, of cheerful liberality. Christians, when they give, must be liberal. Dapat maluwag ang kanilang pagbibigay. Meron silang kagalakan. And I must stress again that this is not measured by absolute amount. Paano mo nalalaman na maluwag ang pagbibigay? Hindi ito sa halaga. Hindi ito sa gaano kalaki ang kanyang ibinigay sa piso o sentimo. Ang isang mayaman ay maaaring magbigay na sa kanyang kahalagahan ay malaki, subalit ang kanyang puso ay hindi maluwag. Agay, hindi naman ang isang dukha na maliit ang ibinibigay, ang kanyang kalagayang panloob ay may kaluwagan. So this is not to be measured by absolute amount. It is something that we must address in our hearts. And what Paul is simply saying here is that stinginess cannot thrive in a thankful heart. Ang pagkamaramot ay hindi maaring mabuhay sa isang pusong may pagpapasalamat. This is what answers all kinds of restraint to our liberality. All stinginess will not thrive. Now, we can use all theological arguments to show why a person must be liberal with his giving. We can use many doctrinal principles to show that stinginess is sin. But after all has been said and done, it is the Christian who has gratitude running through his veins that will be liberal with no need of argument, with no need of theological and involved reasoning. In the two chapters of 8 and 9, we have encountered exhortations and warnings to the stingy giver. Paul uses first the model of the Macedonians, as we have seen at the opening of chapter 8. Pinakilala niya ang ginawa ng mga Macedonians sa kabila ng kanilang kahirapan, karukhaan. Ngunit sila pa ang nagpilit na magbigay ng maluwag para sa ministeryo ni Apostol Pablo. Ang ginagawa ni Pablo ay pinatitimbang niya ang ganung huwara ng mga taga-Macedonia para sa mga taga-Korinto. So he's using an argument of modeling, of example. Most importantly, his appeal is based on the grace of God in chapter 8, verse 9. But he was rich, but he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. And then he uses scriptures. He cites Old Testament passages such as that in chapter 9, verse 6, quoting from Proverbs, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So Paul is using both examples of churches then in existence. He uses what God has done in redemption. He uses scriptures from the Old Testament to show that stinginess has no place in Christian giving, why Christians should be liberal. But there is nothing that is more effective in unloosing the strings to our giving than just being thankful, being grateful. God has many gifts to his people in terms of common grace, in terms of our day-to-day providence, and the consciousness of being beneficiary of God's gifts from day to day should elicit a truly thankful heart in us. But, or you may ask, what gifts of God are you regularly receiving? Perhaps abilities for your work, safekeeping in your travels. And all of these are reminders to us of God being good to us day by day. You can check your concordance, computer concordance. The most numerous summons for worship in Scripture are these exact words: oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Repeatedly in the Old Testament, you see and read these summons. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And for us who are daily beneficiaries of his gifts, we should all say, amen. He is good. Your abilities, your safekeeping, your day-to-day sustenance are all proof of that. But of all the manifestations of his goodness and graciousness, there is none better than his gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. If there is any of all the gifts of God that we can highlight, that we enjoy, would you not agree there is none better? There is none but that matches the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is about our salvation. It is about our multitudes of sin canceled. As we were singing, come then, repenting sinner, come, approach with humble faith. Oh, what thou wilt, the total sum is canceled by his death. It's the thought of what Christ has done in dying for us that should remove any stinginess on our part. For God has given so much for us. Now, I have been to the Libingan ng mga Bayani twice. Once during my father's burial. And the second time when we visited, our family visited, just two weeks ago. And in both cases, there was a military honor given to the one being buried. Well, the first time, of course, it was my father. The second time, just very close by, a burial was going on, and again, military honor. And it is the military's way of saying, we honor our fallen ones. That's their gratitude for their service. And I'm sure the burial ground itself is free to every soldier, and there is an honor band, gun salute, and everything. It's their way of showing how they honor their fallen comrades. And for our part, when we think of what Christ has done to die for us, do we think in a sparing attitude what we could spare for the Lord Jesus Christ? Instead, the challenge of this is cultivate an overwhelming gratitude to God by reflecting on Christ as God's gift. Linangin mo sa iyong puso ang nananaig na pasasalamat sa Diyos sa pagmumuni ng kaloob ng Diyos kay Kristo. It is often the case that our thank you is simply the expression of our well-trained manner. We say thank you because that's what expected. We say thank you as a routine. But recollect the time when you really said thank you because of a favor that has overwhelmed you. Help that gave you perhaps welcome relief. Money that met a pressing need. Or someone went out of his way in order to be of help. And when you said thank you, that could not just be the expression of a well-trained manner. It's not just routine. It's something that you would have done something, anything, in order to show to this person how grateful you are. But what greater favor can there be for you than the gift of God, of His own Son, for salvation? Consider your unconverted state until God, through His Son, gave the gift of salvation. Ano ka nung ikaw ay nasa kasalanan pa, walang pananampalataya? Ano ang buhay mo? At mula sa kanyang buhay, dumating sa iyo ang biyaya ng Diyos, dinalaw ka, pinakita sa iyo ang ginawa ng Diyos para sa makasalanan sa pagbibigay ng kanyang anak. This is the most basic of the grace of God. Salvation is a gift in Christ, not earned by anything. And my friend, if you will come to God for salvation, you must receive the Lord Jesus Christ as grace. Not earned, not by works, not by ceremony, but only as gift of God. And if we reflect on this gift, should we not respond with an overwhelmed heart filled with thanksgiving? Hindi ba dapat nananaig sa atin ang pasasalamat sa Diyos? It is on this basis that we read an exhortation such as this in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give thanks in all circumstances. Now, certainly, there are circumstances that you would find in your own mind thankless, or circumstances that probably you would even curse if need be. But what this is saying is that under no circumstances are Christians without any reason to thank God, if only because of Jesus Christ. Walang kalagayan na anuman para sa isang Kristiyano na wala siyang dahilan na magpasalamat sa Diyos kung dahil lamang kay Hesukristo. Gaano man katindi, gaano man kabigat ang dinadala mo sa anumang kalagayan, mayroon pa rin dahilan magpasalamat kung dahil lang kay Hesukristo ay mas matimbang ito kaysa sa anuman ang iyong dinadalang kabigatan. Apply that thankful attitude to your giving and it will breed liberality unrestrained by calculating. God's attitude when He gave His Son, we are told in Romans 8:32, is that He did not spare. He did not spare His own Son. Likewise, let our giving be unsparing. And apply that to service, to Christian service in general. How much of a delight it is to serve God when we are thankful. How much of a delight it is to serve God and to seek to be witnesses to others when we are thankful for what God has done for our souls. And it should not be difficult to join the church in its covenant commitments. If we are filled with thanksgiving, such as prayer meeting and other commitments of the church, if we are but overwhelmed by thanksgiving. And apply that to giving means we should be able to exercise liberality without restraint if we reflect the indescribable gift of God. It was today in 1784 that John Wesley founded a group that now is known as Methodism. And John Wesley was well known for his principle concerning finances, probably best expressed in those two or three imperatives: earn as much as you can, save as much as you can, give as much as you can. And Methodists were known for their zeal in service and in giving, because Christ was portrayed to them in all the inexpressible, indescribable value of Christ being the gift of God. So thanksgiving to God answers restraint to liberality. And secondly, thanksgiving to God prevents boasting by comparison. I noted that the statement of Paul both concludes the section chapters 8 and 9, but also anticipates the new one. And the new one, beginning chapter 10, is the rebuke part. And you remember that in this rebuke section, we know from our past series that one word that repeats itself is boast. The super apostles, who were the opponents of the apostle Paul, were boasting of their glowing service, their glowing gifts, what they have done, all to advance themselves. And Apostle Paul is preparing for that by reminding them the indescribable gift of God. Are you overwhelmed by that? And that teaches us that thanksgiving militates against a calculating attitude about giving to the cause of God. The choice of word of the Apostle Paul assumes significance here. The gift of God is indescribable. One lexicon defines this as that which cannot be told because it is too wonderful for words. Applied to numbers and values, it means that which goes beyond calculation. Now that is the gift of God in Christ. You cannot calculate it. There is no sufficient number to value it. It is an almost universal practice in our world to assign value to anything in terms of money equivalent. Countries are ranked according to their per capita or gross domestic product, or their economy is weighed by their balance of trade or deficit. We evaluate a job based on the income it can accrue to us. Never mind more important factors such as being church-based. As long as the job gives good income, that's priority for consideration. And consciously or unconsciously, we have the same habit in giving. And when we have a calculating attitude in giving, we always end up being minimal or average, never liberal. Pag nagkikwenta tayo palagi sa ating pagbibigay, ang ating magiging uri ng pagbibigay ay ang maliit, average, pero hindi magiging maluwag. Because our calculation being selfish, we will always ask, how much is left for me? How much is left for my hobbies, for my leisure, beyond my necessities? But what number can you assign to Christ as a gift of God for your redemption, for a life of faith? Romans 11:35 asks the poignant question, who has ever given to God that God should repay him? Sino na bang talaga nakapagbigay sa Diyos na nagdagdag sa Kanya para magkautang ang Diyos na dapat siyang bayaran? Ang ibig sabihin, ano man ang ibigay natin, it will never in any way create money value on the gift of God. Never. What magnitude of what God has given us in Christ, and that should overwhelm us. It should be the giving of the heart overwhelmed by thanksgiving. Is that the character of our giving? And not only our giving, our service to God. If we are serving Him in reflection of what God has given us, that indescribable gift, we will serve with a heart, not a calculating mind that
counts values by money. In the film, Jerry Maguire played the title role by Tom Cruise. It is about a manager of athletes who, because he separated himself from his company, was reduced to a single athlete to manage. And he happened to be an American football player played by Cuba Gooding. And the one intense scene of that film was the confrontation between the manager and the athlete. And the manager confronts this athlete because his performance was subpar. And the manager told him, "You are not giving your heart because you always complain how much you are not getting. And as long as you think of how much you are not getting, you are not going to play with your heart." And I thought the message was powerful in terms of the involvement of our heart with our money when it comes to the cause of God. If our mind is filled with complaints of how much we are not getting, how little we have, instead of reflecting what God has given that you cannot have words to describe, there is no enough number in the whatever known digits we have reached, we can never sufficiently value what God has given. We should be overwhelmed instead with thanksgiving. My challenge is confront and mortify all comparing attitude in our giving. When you compare so that you get satisfied because you give more than someone else, or you compare by way of thinking, he's supposed to be rich and I'm supposed to be poorer than him, and yet we just give the same amount, so that satisfies me. And every comparison of that sort is unbecoming of one who has been a recipient of the indescribable gift. When we think of our giving comparatively to that of others and we feel greater, that is boasting. When we think of how much we have given to others or to the church and we feel owed, that is boasting. And how do you confront it? Not by thinking of others who may have given more, because that is still comparing. Think of what gift God has given in the Lord Jesus Christ. And nothing you can give can even begin to compare with what God has given. Henry Cowell was the founder of Quaker Oats Company, which made him a millionaire. But he was a faithful giver, and one principle he lived by was something he put on his journal where he said, "I have never been ahead of God. God has always been ahead of me in giving." And would you not agree that God has always been ahead? And again, if only of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can never outgive God. Henry Cowell was the main influence and main financier that sustained Moody Bible Institute during its heyday. And now the challenge, brethren, we see how by the grace of God, even those who have fallen into conflict can be restored. And that grace reminds us again that we are beneficiaries of a gift. And that gift is enough motivation. Whether we talk of service, we talk of giving, may we come to the point where we still know how to be overwhelmed. Do not reduce it to mere formulation. Do not reduce it to mere proportion. Think of it as something that is overwhelming and indescribable. Apostle Paul, whose theology has given to us some of the most wonderful doctrines of truth, when he thought personally of the gift of God in Christ, he could not describe it. So are you one that simply formulates your belief about who Christ is, what he has done? Or are you still overwhelmed by that? As we sing our last hymn, this is a reminder to us of how the gift of God in the Lord Jesus Christ reminds us how undeserving we are, and yet we are recipients of that gift. Let us respond with overwhelming gratitude. The last verse says, "Therefore, kind Jesus, since I cannot pay thee, I do adore thee and will ever pray thee. Think on thy pity and thy love unswerving, not my deserving." Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos, aming mabuting Ama, nagpapasalamat kami na tinustusan mo kami sa mahabang panahon ng aming paglalahad ng ikalawang Korinto, at ngayong aming tinatapos ito ay angkop na pag-isipan namin ang tinawag ni Pablong hindi malirik na kaloob ng Diyos sa gitna ng kanyang mga pagtuturo at pagbibigay ng pagkilala sa kaloob ng mga taga-Korinto, na isip niyang walang anumang maihahambing at maitatambal sa kaloob ng Diyos kay Hesukristo. And help us, Lord, to respond in the same manner, that we may feel overwhelmed with gratitude when we think of your gift in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are beneficiaries of so many gifts out of your goodness, and indeed, we say amen to the numerous summons. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. You are good to us. And grant that we may indeed respond with thanksgiving. But of all your gifts, nothing compares to your gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we are told that you have not spared your own Son, grant that our service to you may also be unsparing. Grant that our giving may also be unsparing. For where thanksgiving resides in the heart, stinginess cannot dwell. Thanksgiving to you, for Christ answers all restraint to liberality and to zeal in service. Challenge us. And also may thanksgiving to God prevent all boasting by comparison. There is no reason for us to compare. All that we can do to compare is think of others, but the real gift that we must look upon is the Lord Jesus Christ. And on that gift, no monetary value is enough to give to us its calculation. It is incalculable. So help us, Lord, to mortify any calculating attitude when it comes to our service, when it comes to our giving. For when we allow selfish calculation to dominate, we will always think of our self-interest. But instead, help us, Lord, to think of that gift that cannot be calculated. And may we therefore serve you with a heart that does not occupy itself with what is not received by us. For we have already received so much, if only because of the Lord Jesus Christ. So help us to confront and mortify all comparing attitude. We cannot compare favorably to those who may give less than our giving. We cannot think of ourselves owed by the fact that we give to help others, for you have given to us that which words fail us to describe. So help us, Lord, to have that sense of being overwhelmed. May we not reduce this to a formulation, to a proportion, to mere doctrinal teaching, but instead lead us to that point where Apostle Paul exclaimed, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." May we not lose that spirit and that sense of being, of sensing that we are beggared by words to describe the Lord Jesus Christ. So thank you for your gift of Christ and challenge us. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.